I have been preaching a series of sermons on the invitations of Jesus as they're found in the Gospels and in other places in the New Testament. We're going to continue that today based on scripture that I have, the scripture references printed in the bulletin, Mark the 8th chapter, verses 34 through 36, or 35. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. If you want to look that up, we'll follow along as I read it. Then he, that is Jesus, called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it." The invitation that we're going to be looking at today is different from the others in that it contains a very strong challenge to us. Prior to this, Jesus had been talking about his forthcoming suffering, how he would suffer and die, and how he would rise again. When Peter took him aside and scolded him and said, "Don't even talk about that. Don't think about that. We don't want to hear that." He didn't say all that, but you get the idea. And that's when Jesus answered Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful about the things of God, but the things of men." After that is when Jesus issued this call to discipleship. In this call, Jesus is seeking for a greater commitment of people's lives to him, following in his way. I have told you before that I think there's a difference between the call to salvation and the call to discipleship. The basis of the first, that is the call to salvation, is whosoever will may come. And all you have to do is repent, believe, and are baptized, and you will be saved. But the basis for discipleship is a little bit different. That is, whoever is willing to give their lives, lay down their lives for him, is going to be called his disciple. Jesus said that salvation is free, more or less, because Jesus has already paid the price for us. But if we follow him, that is, if we become disciples of Jesus, it will cost us something. And that's what we want to think about today. I think that Jesus' statement that narrow is the path that leads to life and few there be that find it could apply to discipleship. Because not all Christians are willing to pay the price of actually following Jesus day in and day out. So what is that price? Jesus tells us in this passage from Mark's Gospel, there are three steps in this call to discipleship. But I must start with the invitation itself. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me." If anyone would come after me. Now the operative word there is if. He said that invitation to those who in the crowd were there also along with his disciples that were there. He did not say, "You must come after me." When he called the 12, he simply said, "Come, follow me." And they had to make a choice. He did not say, "You have to follow me." He said, "Come, follow me." And they chose to follow him. And they did. After telling his disciples about his forthcoming suffering, death, and resurrection, Jesus was alerting his disciples to the fact that things were about to get rough. We know when Jesus was arrested, most of the inner circle of Jesus, the 12 disciples, forsook him. They took off. They ran and left him. And Peter even denied him openly. They really had not considered the possibility of what was going to happen and what terrible things might come upon Jesus. They didn't know how terribly he would be treated, even though he had told them ahead of time it was coming, that it was going to happen. It all changed, of course, after the day of Pentecost, when these cowering disciples became fearless proponents of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people who accept Jesus as Savior because they know that they are lost. They know they're helplessly, hopelessly lost, and they can't do anything about it on their own. And Jesus has come and said, I will help you, I will save you, if we put our trust in Him. But how many of us have stopped to really count the cost of what is required of us day after day after day? And after we rise up from the waters of baptism, and as we go forth, what happens? What happens next week? What happens next month? Or next year? Or the years that follow? I think for most of us, it is probably a gradual process of realizing what is required of us and all who come after Jesus. What He expects of us. Some keep walking on in Jesus' way while others drop out. You've probably known some people who have dropped out, who have given up, who have said, it's too hard. I don't know. I know I've heard people say, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. I didn't realize it was going to be this difficult. And so they dropped out. It isn't easy to follow Jesus, but neither is it impossible. We have all been given what? The Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to do what would otherwise be impossible for us to do. And that is follow Jesus. To follow Him every day. To follow Him day in and day out. We have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And now, because that has happened in our lives, we must reckon with following Jesus in our lives day after day after day. And to understand what that means for us. The first step of discipleship, according to Jesus, is we must deny ourselves. He does not say we can either do that or not do that. Remember, I said He did not say we have to follow Him. But if we follow Him, we must, He says, deny ourselves. That word He uses is must. It is a requirement, not an elective. We also need to realize that in the original Greek, these steps of discipleship that I'll be talking about are stated in the present continuous tense, which means that these steps are ongoing and continual. They are things that we don't just do once, but we must continue to do them. We must keep on doing them. They are things that are contrary, what might be called the spirit of this age at which we live. We don't hear a great deal today, do we, about self-denial. We don't hear much talk about it. We don't see much of that going on. We can go into any bookstore anywhere here in Louisville, and we will see book after book after book that talks not so much about self-denial, but the importance of self, about self-awareness and self-promotion. The problem with all that is that it's given people the false idea that the whole universe revolves around their lives and that they are the most important person in the whole world, above and beyond all other people. You know, there are other people that feel the same way, and that might cause a conflict. Not everyone else will agree that we are the most important person in the world or that our lives are most important of all, since they feel that same way about their lives. We are told that we need to think highly of ourselves. We are told that we need to lift ourselves up. We are told that we need to push ourselves forward. We are told that we need to make ourselves known. Jesus then comes along and says, no, that's not right. You must deny yourself. You must deny yourself. Well, let's be sure we know what self-denial is not. To deny ourselves does not mean that we put ourselves down. It doesn't mean that we look at ourselves and say, oh, we're just dirty, rotten scoundrels. You know, there was a song that used to have the line in it, for such a worm as I. And that was changed to, for such a one as I. And I'm glad they changed it, because I don't think of myself as a worm, do you? And I don't think God does either. And I don't think Jesus does. Because God thought we were important enough, He thought we were valuable enough, that He sent His own Son to die for us, to give us life. Paul said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. He doesn't say don't think of yourself highly at all. He just says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Don't think that you're better than anybody else. Don't think that you are more important than anybody else. Don't think that you're greater than anyone else. It was Gert B. Hanna who said, I look down on people who look down on people. We have no right to think of ourselves as being greater or more important than anyone else, or to think that we are better than anyone else. To deny ourselves means that we step aside. We get ourselves out of the driver's seat and turn our lives over to Jesus. Paul also said, we are not our own, for we have been bought with a price. He also said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Frank Laubach was a very godly man and a humble servant of the Lord. I had the privilege of meeting him one time. His passion was to teach people how to read. He had a program he called Each One, Teach One. Teach someone to read, they teach someone else to read, and they teach someone else to read. He did that all over the world. But the textbook that he used was the Bible. And when people were learning to read, they were also being filled with the Word of God. And many of them came to the Lord as a result of that. A very wonderful work that he did all over the world. He once said about himself, I do not count my life as dear to me. Every day I get up and I stand before the Lord and I say, here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do today? What's your assignment for me to do today? In other words, he denied himself in order to be useful to the Lord. When we fully surrender our lives to the Lord, when we give Him our lives, when we say, here's my life, take it. It's amazing what might come of it. Just look at the lives of those first disciples as an example. They were poor fishermen, most of them, or tax collectors or whatever, just living their lives out. And yet, they became mighty servants of God under the hand of Jesus, under the touch of Jesus. The same thing can happen to anyone. Same thing can happen to us. The second step in the call to discipleship is we must take up our cross. We must take up our cross. In addition to giving up something, we must also take up something. What is this cross we are supposed to take up? Well, we know for sure that it's not Jesus' cross. We know that we could never do that. He did not say, take up my cross. We couldn't do that if we wanted to, because that was His cross. And He did it once and for all of us. No, our cross is something different. Some people think that the trials, the tribulations, the troubles, the temptations that we face in life all go together to make up our cross that we must bear. That could be part of it, especially when we look at at it from the standpoint of how do we face those things? How do we face them when they come to us? How do we go through those things? What is our attitude? How do we come out of those things? But I do not think that those challenges are the thing that Jesus was talking about. What Jesus meant, I believe, when he said, take up our cross, take up your cross, take up my cross, we find something in Luke 6 or 9, 57 through 62. You may remember that. There were three people who came to Jesus and expressed a desire to follow him in their lives. But when they were questioned further, their commitment was half-hearted at best. And none of them ended up taking up their cross. What did taking up their cross mean to those first disciples? They were threatened constantly, persecuted mercilessly, and most of the apostles were killed because of their commitment to Jesus. Now, taking up our cross does not necessarily mean that we will endure those things. But here's the thing. We must be willing to risk the loss of everything in order to follow Christ. We must be willing to give up whatever it takes to follow Jesus. Remember that Paul talked about all of the various things that he had lost in his life because he followed Jesus. All of the sacrifices, all of the difficulties he went through, all of the hardships that he endured. And yet Paul was able to say at the end of it, but none of those things really matter to me. None of those things count at all for the joy of knowing Jesus and following him. To take up our cross requires us to ask ourselves, what am I prepared to lose, to give up, if necessary, in order to follow Jesus? We may be asked to do that. We may be called upon to sacrifice someday. And we need to ask ourselves, am I willing to do that? That's the last one of the steps to discipleship. After we do the other, we must follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. In fact, that is one of the meanings of the word disciple. It also means to be a learner, but it also means to be a follower, someone who follows someone else. Someone who follows. We can see that word literally being acted out in the lives of those first followers. They literally followed Jesus. As I said before, Jesus came along and said, come, follow me, and they did. They followed him everywhere, day in, day out. They watched him, they observed him, and they learned, and they grew in that relationship with Jesus. They literally followed him day in and day out. They were being tested. They were being tried. They were actually being prepared for what Jesus had in store for them, for what would come next. For he knew that they would have to take over for him someday. And he was preparing them all along the way. To follow Jesus today means, first of all, that we live according to Jesus' teaching. We live according to his teachings. We find in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the teachings of Jesus, that Jesus presents to us a different way than the way of the world. He said, you've heard it said in the past that this is the way it's supposed to be, but I tell you this. And he changed things. He made them different. He said, If you want to show your love for me, if you really want to show that you love me, then do my commandments. Follow my way. Do what I've told you to do. As first disciples did, they eventually learned out of all that preparation how to stand by faith and how to be servants of God and of Jesus. We must follow in the way that Jesus has given us to do. Jesus said, you've been told before that it's okay for you to love your friends, but hate your enemies. He says, no, that's not right. Love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. A different way of living, a different pattern of living. We find that in his teachings. A vivid contrast to the way of the world. A disciple of Jesus will always choose Jesus' way above the way of the world. We may not always do it perfectly, but that is the desire of our hearts, to do what Jesus has asked us to do. To follow Jesus today means that we walk in his way and we become more like him. We actually become more like Jesus day by day. That is actually the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes into our life and he changes us from glory to glory. He changes us into the image of Jesus. And we must cooperate with him. When he is working in our lives, we must not fight against him, but we must surrender our lives to him and let him do his work in us. You know, it's a wonderful thing to remember that day by day, Jesus is changing us, that he's making us more like him, so that at some point in our lives, some people can look at us and they can actually see Jesus in us. Jesus living in us. Us becoming more like Jesus. Do you know the word Christian means little Christ? It means being one of his. It means being like him. It means not just being like him in theory, but in reality. So that we are actually growing to be like Jesus. Following Jesus also means one more thing. It's very important. It means that we commit our whole lives to him, holding nothing back. Giving our lives to him, putting our lives in his hand, saying, I know you can do so much more with this than I could ever do. Remember the words of the hymn that say, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. How far? All the way. That's what it means to follow Jesus. To be willing to go all the way. To follow him day in, day out. Through the hard times. Through the good times. Through the times that challenge us. Through the times that make us wonder. All that time that we follow Jesus. We follow him all the way. What does all the way mean? To you and to me. You know, if you think about it, Jesus down through the ages has had many admirers. People who admire him. People say, Jesus was a good man. He was a great teacher. He did a lot of good things. They admire Jesus for who he was and what he did. But Jesus doesn't really care about admirers. He doesn't want admirers. What Jesus really wants is people who will follow him wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, single-mindedly. Follow him. He wants disciples. He wants followers who will surrender their all to him and give their lives to him and live for him day in and day out. Will we be one of those? Will you be one? Will I be one? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for calling us to follow Jesus, your Son. Father, sometimes we don't really think about what that means for me and for these folks here and for all Jesus' disciples and followers to follow him. It's not easy, but we know it's not impossible. So, Father, help us today to surrender more of our lives to you. If there's something we're holding back from you, if there's something we haven't given to you, if we're just sort of waiting to see, help us to surrender more of our lives to you today so that you can use us in whatever way you desire. We want to be useful, Father, to you and to your kingdom. So help us to be as we follow Jesus in our lives. For we pray in His name.